at 73. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 61 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys are excited for another fun one here on the show. We got plenty to dive into. Definitely going to continue to break down this Alabama-Oklahoma game. Talked about it yesterday a little bit. We'll go in a little bit more detail today, see if we can pull up some tape, right? Remember, we got to be careful with that, but we'll pull up a little bit of it if we can. But there's actually a couple different things I want to look at if we do get to go to the tape. We might have to stay and do overtime on the stream, which, again, we do stream live on YouTube every day that we do the show here on Tide 100.9. 11 to 1 Central Time, you can always come hang out with us. Join in the chat. Watch me do the show. And that's free to do. Just go over to YouTube and type in at the Miller's Edge, and it should pop right up. Make sure you subscribe. All we do is ask you to subscribe and like if you enjoy the content. Everything is completely free and just keeps you up to date with everything and helps continue to push the show, which we always appreciate that. That being said, I mentioned there's a couple things that I do want to take a look at, and here's why. I see we got Dwight already here in the chat. Well, he tagged us in a video on X, and it was the film guy. I know a lot of you guys like watching his videos when he breaks stuff down. He does a pretty good job doing so. And I think he had joined the next round, and he was talking about the running game, and I think he had made a video already breaking it down, but this was something different. This was him talking about, I guess, that video and some other stuff. Long story short, Dwight tagged us in it. I gave it a listen. And basically, I think the main point of it was he said the same thing I was saying yesterday in terms of when you look at the running game, right? We've been discussing a lot. A lot of people having a whole bunch of questions. Why is it not working? Why are we having issues? Is it the offensive line? Is it the play calling, the scheme, the backs? And we've been trying to dive into it a little bit for you guys. But I made the comment yesterday, which he ended up saying the same thing, in that if you go back and watch Washington, right, and how they ran the football, especially in 2023. I didn't watch Washington before that. I watched them in 2023 when we hired Coach DeBoer. I went back and watched those games a lot more. And I talked about it. If we go back all the way to when we first hired DeBoer, one of the biggest things I noticed was their running scheme, like the things that they did. They used a lot of zone, a lot of pin and pull. Their offensive linemen were asked to do a lot of movement, right, pulling a lot, getting out in space. That was a very common thing with their running game. So I was aware of that. Again, I mentioned it way back when, and I made the comment yesterday saying something very similar, that part of me wonders that, you know, maybe our guys just aren't the best fit for some of the things that they traditionally do in their system. And I don't want to get too deep in this because I'm going to bring it up here in a minute and talk a little bit more in depth about it. And while I agree, because again, I pretty much said the same thing yesterday, there's also another side of it that I want to point out that I will do here in a minute. So it's kind of like, yes, I said it too, and I agree. There's also another side of it, which we'll talk about here in a minute. So anyway, we need to do that. But I mentioned that because I pulled it up earlier, and I'll see if I can play it on here. I have Washington back from 2023, and I'm going to see if I can just find a few clips for you guys just to kind of give an example of some of those things that they did frequently with their running game and how that relates to what we see now with Alabama, how it might look a little bit different and so forth. If we have enough time and we're able to do that, I definitely would love to do that. So just a heads up on that. A couple other things that we got to hit today. Yesterday was Tuesday. You know what that means. Playoff rankings, right? They come out every Tuesday now. We'll update you guys on those, give our thoughts there. Not much movement in the top five, really any at all, like we mentioned. We didn't think there would be. But after that, there definitely was some shuffling. We'll talk about what that shuffling was, what that might mean, and so forth. moving forward. And yeah, outside of that, guys, we haven't got to the coordinator press conferences. We're like 2 days behind now, so maybe we'll just pull bits and pieces from that. There were player interviews yesterday. We can always pull some of those if we have time. And per usual, we always invite you guys to hit us up, 205-342-9904. We would like to talk with you guys, get your thoughts on everything. But main focus, we'll continue looking at this Oklahoma-Alabama game a little bit more in depth, go over some more numbers and matchups and things that I think will be important in this game. Because in my eyes, it is a really big test. And I said a few weeks ago, I think this is probably the biggest test remaining coming out of, you know, the bye week and what we had left on our schedule. And yeah, now that we're past LSU, we saw how that went. I obviously feel that way, right? You really got three games left. Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and then you go on the road to Jordan-Hare, which definitely could be tricky in itself. But we're going to focus on this week right now because it's a big matchup. That said, let's go ahead and hit our first timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll dive into everything. Before we hit this timeout, let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store. Speaking of the Oklahoma game this weekend, remember, Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge is live. So go sign up right now, goodfeetkickforcash.com. It's as simple as putting in your name and your email address, and you're locked in. Now, that doesn't guarantee you a spot. That gets you in the entry. Now, if you get selected, you get the opportunity to go kick some field goals during the game, and for a chance to win some free cash. So make sure you guys do that. I don't know why you wouldn't. Again, it's all free and you get a chance to win money. And if you don't make any field goals, don't worry. You still walk away with a gift bag from the Good Feet Store. So you at least get something. Just not the cash if you miss it. But I got faith in you guys. I got faith that you guys can go nail a 10, even a 20, maybe a 30-yard field goal. So make sure you guys do that. And for always, if you ever have any pain that you're dealing with or you're wondering, how can I help get rid of it, whether it's plantar fasciitis, you know, quad tendonitis like I had, any sorts of pain, foot pain, knee pain, or back pain, make sure you guys check out the Good Feet Store. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Just go on in there. They're located in Midtown Village in Tuscaloosa. But they are across the nation, plus five locations, I believe, total now in Alabama. Their website, goodfeet.com, will give you more information and point you to the nearest location to you. But I'm telling you, these things are game changers, clinically proven to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. So make sure you guys check them out. That's the Good Feet Store, goodfeet.com, and our presenting sponsor. So if you guys enjoy the show, make sure you guys show them love, man, because they've been with us for years now. They're big believers in the Miller's Edge, and we're very thankful for them and our relationship and our supports that have been game changers in my life. So let those things be game changers for you. That is the Good Feet Store. You're listening to the Miller's Edge. We're just getting started. Don't go anywhere. Quick timeout. We'll be right back. Tide 100 points.
Crimson Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Let's start here with the whole running game conversation again. If you guys ever have anything that you find social media-wise, whatever the case would be, you got questions for sure, but if there's clips or anything you guys want us to take a look at, break down, or answer, you always can do that just like Dwight did, and he does do. Appreciate him for that. And just tag us in it at the Miller's Edge on X. So what it was Brooks Austin, the film guy, is the YouTube channel that he runs. He was on the Next Round talking about the running game and breaking stuff down. And so I have it pulled up, but I don't have the exact spot where he was saying it. I know it's a long thing. I'll try to find exactly where he was saying it. But to summarize it, we'll just summarize it for now because I think that gets the point across. Basically what he was saying was his thing with the running game is that, similar to what I was seeing, that if you go back and watch 2023 Washington and when Coach DeBoer was at Washington, the way they did things, they did a lot of pin and pull, a lot of counter, which that involves, you know, a lot of lateral movement by your offensive line, right? Guys have to be able to, you know, get out in space and block and pull. And it's a lot different than, you know, a lot of those downhill between the tackle runs that you might see, like duo, right? Things where guys are using that power, they're, you know, getting those strong push initially, doubling back to the second level, stuff like that. So, which, I mean, they still ran some of that, but they definitely majored in a lot of the, you know, pin and pull counter type stuff. That said, I do agree. Now, that's why I said it literally on the show yesterday that, you know, that type of stuff that they probably want to do, I don't think maybe we have the best guys for that. I mean, is athletic as Caden Proctor is, you know, for his size. I mean, hence why they trust him to catch a tunnel screen or whatever they ran and, you know, taking wildcat snaps. I mean, he probably isn't ideal for doing a whole bunch of that. Or the same thing you look at Dewberry at guard, right? Like, he's probably not going to be ideal with a whole bunch of pulling. I'm not saying they can't do that, but you guys get what I'm saying. Like, if you look at the profile of those Washington players, you know, their tackles weren't 370. They were a whole hell of a lot slimmer, and they handled themselves a little bit better in space. That said, here's my the only – this is where we I kind of stray away from what he was saying. This is how I look at it. As a coach, you know, you take a look at your personnel, who you have, and you always are looking to put them in the best position to be successful. Now, we do run pin and pull here. We do run counter. We do that stuff. But we also do run duo. We also run stuff, you know, gap scheme type things that our guys would be more equipped to handle, being, you know, a bigger, more physical unit. And again, to be clear, it's not like you can't do certain, like, oh, okay, we have this type of guy we can't. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we lean into a number of different things. But my issue is, why don't we even do that well, right? Like, if we, okay, I do agree that we might not have the profile for some of the stuff that they were doing a whole bunch of at Washington, hence why we probably don't do it as much here. We still do it, but maybe not as much. Why aren't we at least, you know, succeeding at the thing? Like, if we have big physical guys, why isn't duo successful? Like, why can't our big physical guards, right, like Dewberry, big physical guy, Jaden Roberts, I mean, I think his nickname's the Hulk. I mean, he damn sure looks like it. We shouldn't have all these issues just getting initial contact and movement. That's my thing. Like, I can live with saying, all right, yeah, we probably struggle to do some certain concepts. But with that stuff, to me, to me, that really boils down to, it's not the physical side of things, at least from, like, the way they're built. It's probably, you know, steps, right? Getting your head across. Little things that, like, people don't really mention, but those do mean a whole hell of a lot. Like, you know, your head placement, hand placement, getting your feet in the ground, right? That first step, right? I mean, like, the way you're opening up, like, so many little details that matter. In my opinion, it has to be attributed to stuff like that, because you can't tell me Jaden Roberts can't just go get initial contact and push off the football. It's big and strong. I mean, not even just as big as he is. And he, like, then they do an interview and say he's, like, the strongest guy in the weight room. Like, you get what I'm saying, guys? It has to be something a lot less than just, oh, man, they just can't get the push. No. To me, it probably comes down to fundamentals. So, Dwight, the answer to your question is, while I do agree that they probably, in a perfect world, their personnel, the profile of their offensive line probably would look a little bit different, my argument would be, then why aren't we doing the things that they should be good at well either? Does that make sense, guys? Like, if we're saying they struggle with the movement and things that they want to do in that type of scheme, why can't we lead into more of a, you know, downhill running type scheme where they can be physical, powerful guys and maximize what they are good at? Because they're not doing that well either. That's what I guess I would offer. The part in that video starts at 225. All right, we can probably play. I'll wait till the break just because I don't want to waste too much time trying to find it. But to his part at the 18 months out, I mean, we'll have to see, guys. I mean, will they do a complete overhaul and the whole profile changes? I mean, maybe to an extent. I know he referenced, like, recruits and, like, their body types with where they're at, like, weight-wise and stuff like that. I'm sure, right? It'd be no different if you have a defensive coordinator that comes in and he runs a 3-4 system, right? Like, this is it's a very valid thing, right? Hence why I brought it up yesterday. You know, if you have a defensive coordinator that comes in and your team was running a 4-3, right, or a 4-2-5, and the edge guys that they have on the roster, your personnel is a bunch of 6'4", 265-pound guys that aren't used to dropping in space. When that 3-4 system comes in with that coordinator, there is going to be a period of adjustment because he's not going to really have anybody on the roster. They might have, like, one or two tweener guys, but they're not going to have the exact personnel for those 3-4 outside backers. You're going to be converting 265-pound defensive ends who are used to keeping their hand in the dirt and not used to playing in space and trying to convert them and get them more comfortable doing something that they weren't doing before. Hence why I do understand what he's saying. Like, it will take a few years for that defensive guy to get some more 3-4 outside linebackers in his system that fit what they want to do. Guys that are more 240, have experience in college, maybe playing off the ball, can cover, drop, stuff like that. I do get that point, but again, the biggest, I guess, pushback right now for me is we really aren't even doing the things that you would expect them to be good at well. So that's my whole thing, right? Like, if they're not good in space, then why can't we double and get combo blocks moving and run the ball downhill? But we also know, we saw this ourselves when we pulled the tape up, running backs have to be better. Dang, I'm sorry, guys. I just got a dang text and I completely whiffed. I forgot we were supposed to have Rodney on here. Let's see. Maybe we can get him on at 11:30. Matter of fact, let's do this. Let's hit this timeout because I completely whipped. I forgot we were supposed to have. I was thinking 11:30 our time. I got to do better on that. Let's do this. Reed, Chase, let's hit this timeout. We come back. We should be able to get Rodney on here. Rodney Anderson, that is, by the way, former Oklahoma running back. And get his thoughts on this game. Sorry, I got distracted for a second. And we'll roll from there. It'll be good. We'll get some intel, some insight on Oklahoma. Rodney does work with their team right now. So let's do this. We're going to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll hopefully get Rodney on here. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
Brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. But we're now joined by former Oklahoma running back, former Cincinnati Bengal, Rodney Anderson. And Rodney, that's totally on me, bro. I thought we said 11:30. Then I realized when you text, I'm like, oh, crap, we said 11:15 to 11:30. So that is on me. I apologize your first time on here. Flag on the play completely on my part, bro. But I hope everything's well, and I appreciate you jumping on here, bro.
Yeah, man, no worries. No worries at all. I'm just here at the crib chilling with my son. Been to get ready to talk a little bit of football, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, no, we're excited to have you on here because it's a big week for us. It's a big weekend for us, I should say. It's homecoming for us. Last year, it was the other way around. It was homecoming for you guys, and we know how that went. Tell me about what do you remember about that game? Not like it was a whole, you know, long time ago, but were you at that game? Because I know you work with the collective. For our listeners, listen now. Rodney now works with their collective over at Oklahoma, so he's really close to the program. But were you at the game? And if you were, man, how was that on y'all's end?
I was at the game, and I'm sure you guys remember as well. Like, we were just – it was a dumpster fire of a season for us last year, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. We had just – and quarterback in and out, in and out, in and out, backup starter. There wasn't a whole lot of confidence. We had a ton of injuries in our receiver room and on our offensive line. And so, you know, we were just having struggle closing out games. We could hang for a little bit, but it always turned bad for us, you know, towards the second half, third, fourth quarter. But then for whatever reason, when we played y'all, things just kept going our way. We found a little bit of rhythm running the ball. We found a little bit of intermediate to deep passing game, and once we started clicking, we have the defense on that side of the ball to hold things down. We just always needed that offensive side to help capitalize on those turnovers or on those three and outs, and that is probably the one game last year that we actually consistently played on both sides of the ball as a team.
Yeah, no, y'all definitely put it together, and it was on the contrary for us, man. It was a nightmare. I mean, it was a turnover fest. We could not stop quarterback design run. Jackson Arnold was all over the place. And, man, it just – everything was in front of us that game. And then y'all took it away from us. So there's going to be a lot of emotion going into this game for sure, but I think it's going to be a good one. Roddy, tell me, you know, just your initial analysis of Oklahoma this season, right? I mean, you spent a lot of time with these guys personally, but – and, again, you got a big, lengthy football background. You talked about y'all not being able to really put it together last year, but – you look at y'all's team this year. I mean, you got one of the best defenses in the country. The defensive line does a heck of a job stuffing the run, getting after the quarterback, one of the top teams rushing the passer, one of the top teams stopping the run. Brent Venables, man, heck of a defensive mind. We see what he does with the blitzes and whatnot. And on the other side of the football, John Mateer, you know, seems a little bit off since he came back from injury, but, you know, you guys, you know, do enough offensively to put yourselves in positions, hence why you guys are still in the playoff hunt, man. What's your just overall analysis of this Oklahoma football team for 2025?
It's, you know, we started out pretty strong, you know, we've had a really tough schedule. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but our defense has just remained the strength of our team. To your point, you know, BV is just fantastic at drawing up these exotic blitzes and disguising things. And even more than those, even more than that, he's just so good at getting a read on the offensive coordinator that he's going against. I mean, he just kind of gets in his little groove and, you know, blitz after blitz, things just start working, and it gives the offense a lot of opportunity to go do something with the ball. And, you know, like that's the part of our team that is still, that still has a lot of work to do, you know, if we want to be the Oklahoma team that we want to be. Early on, we started off really strong. You know, John Mateer, he came from Washington with our offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, and they've been kind of a dynamic duo when it comes to scheme and running that offense. It's been really nice having like another field general on the field, you know, calling plays and checking into different things. But you know, he had his injury, and you know, I feel that kind of threw him off, and you know, not really anything physically, but more so mentally. You know, I'm sure you know what it's like coming off of an injury, surgeries and things like that. There's just a ton of mental struggles and hurdles that you got to get through to be the player that you want to get back to, and so. I think that's where John Mateer is now. He's had a couple of games to knock the rest off, and he's been able to kind of get a little bit back in his pocket. I really feel that if we're going to have any success this Saturday, he needs to start hot and continue to build on what has been somewhat consistent toward the back half of the season.
Yeah, and he's definitely effective using his legs, too. I think he's rushed for over 300 yards, and that will definitely be something I'm looking out for. I know us, just like anybody else, any other defense, typically – you know, it poses challenges to a defense when you're facing a quarterback with that extra dynamic, right? Plus one quarterback runs, just being able to extend plays with their legs. So I think that will be important for you guys. Tell me kind of like the temperature right now, you know, around Oklahoma. I mean, I'm sure you guys are plenty confident. You know, you beat Alabama last year at home. Coming to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I think the leaders in home game winning streak right now at 17. And this is a make or break game for you guys. I mean, you've got two losses right now, but it doesn't look like you really probably could afford one more loss if you guys have any playoff hopes. I mean, is the temperature right now in Oklahoma, like those guys seem like they're pretty ready to play and then they feel confident coming to Tuscaloosa? Because I'll be honest, I'm not a statistician and I don't have it pulled up. I don't remember the last time you guys traveled to Tuscaloosa, but I'd imagine it's probably been some time. If I had to guess, it's kind of what's the vibe right now over there?
It's all right. You know, I think there's a ton of confidence, like I've been saying, in our defense. But it's kind of a question mark, like what offense are we going to get? Is it going to be a slow start? And are they ever going to get started? Are they going to come out swinging? Are we going to get our run game going? I think there's a lot of question marks around that offensive side of the ball. All that being said, though, I do feel that we have a lot of confidence coming into this game. You know, I think that we're drawing that confidence from the momentum that we have coming off of Tennessee. We had a bye week, and we know that we're in this really tough back half of our schedule, and y'all are no team to sleep on. So I don't know. I think we're cautiously optimistic. We know that it's an away game. We'd obviously rather be in front of our home team, but it is what it is. We're playing where we're playing, and I think at this point we're just ready to see something happen.
Absolutely. Rodney, you know, you being a former running back, man, I'm really curious, and I know it's probably going to be tough for you to answer this without having this tape pulled up. I wish I had it right in front of you so that way you could give me an analysis, because we've been talking a lot about our running game here at Alabama, and there's been a lot of people giving their input, right, talking about whether it's the offensive line not getting great push, not being able to climb up to the next level, fundamentally just not being sound, not executed, but also – there's times where it does seem apparent that our backs might be playing it a little too patient, or they're missing, hitting the hole right. And some people even wonder if schematically things could be better. As a former running back yourself, again, you played at Oklahoma, you played at the highest level in the league, and you've taken a lot of carries. When you talk about a running game, Like, how important, and I know this is going to sound dumb, but I'm trying to explain it for our listeners. Like, there's so many different aspects. Like,
yeah,
you know, you got the guys up front where they have to execute, but, you know, they got to get a good push. I mean, it could be little things like getting their head across, taking the right steps, right? That way, you know, defender's not getting by, just enough, like, little details that add up, but also the vision of the backs. Like, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, when you take yourself back to when you were playing, you know, when y'all are working together, like, when y'all had issues in y'all's running game, what majority of the time, like, ended up being the problems? Like, what were some big things that came up just from what you remember playing that position?
But, you know, I think we're probably, you know, team to team dealing with a lot of similar issues. You know, our offensive line has been so inconsistent. We've had young guys, injured guys, and, you know, so we're shuffling people around, and we finally just got a consistent starting five, you know, game to game. And so I think rhythm, consistency, and some type of, like, you have to get into a groove, which is a little bit of the same as rhythm. But I think that groove has to do a little bit more with timing. You know, there's a lot of guys involved in the run game just for one single run play to work. And if there's no consistency and timing, then those holes are always going to look different, even though you might be talking about the same play or even same type of scheme. So I don't know. I think that there's multiple things that go into it. One of the biggest being timing and consistency. That's just how it's been for us. You know, we've been rotating tons and tons of backs in and out for the past couple of years, and just finally got settled on two. And that kind of timed up with our offensive line getting their guys settled, you know, our starting five. And ever since we've stuck with that, we've been a lot better and showing improvement as well. And so I just, you know, it's all about timing. You know, like, when that hole opens up, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be just the biggest hole in the world. This is Division I SEC football. You just need a split second. You just need a crease. And so there is a little bit of that on the back as well. You know, you can't sit back there patient, expecting a hole the size of a truck to fit through to open up, because it's, like I said, probably not going to happen. You just kind of got to take what you can get. Live to fight another day, take care of the ball. And, you know, as long as you're falling forward, getting positive yards, eventually that rhythm, that consistency, that timing will pay off. And like, you'll get better and better. You can start anticipating blocks, anticipating holes opening up. And then you really start gelling and grooving together. And so I've always thought about the running back position as a little bit more philosophic. You're never going to have two guys that are the same. You know, there's every running back can be a little bit different. It's just a style thing. And you know, when it comes to your offensive line, you've got to have consistency and you've got to gel, or else things are going to look different play to play.
Okay. You answered that question perfect. And I'm glad, because I'm not going to lie, the way I asked you the question was definitely probably confusing. I was trying to figure out how to formulate the question, but you literally hit on everything I was trying to ask.
We've been dealing with the exact same problems. And so I totally understand. Like, it's frustrating because it's like, man, I feel like I saw a hole, but the running back didn't hit it. But, like, it's, you know, you weren't sitting at his angle. You didn't get the ball the way he got it. You weren't taking the steps that he took. And so was it him? You know, and then it might be like, oh, nothing was there. It's just, you know, it's so easy to blame, you know, sitting in the stands. And, like, that's kind of what I've been guilty of here lately, you know, not actually being on the field. But, you know, I start slowing things down and getting in the film room, and it's like, dang, it's kind of a little bit of everybody, and it might help if we had some consistency in there too.
See, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. I know you're referencing a lot of Oklahoma here because it's very similar to us, but you mentioned the word consistency and that rhythm, and I think that applies to us, because I don't know how much you've watched of us or would notice, but we've rotated our offensive line this whole season, and not only because of injury. Like, we've literally been playing musical chairs at different spots. The only spots that have been consistent have been our left tackle spot and our center. We've rotated guys at left guard. Right guard, there was an injury, so there was some rotation early, but even when he's come back, we've still seen other guys kind of moving. And right tackle, it's almost like we have a constant battle still going on between a true freshman and a junior that we have, because it seems like both guys, they struggle in their own ways. Right. And it's just, we haven't been able to mesh as a unit. And I almost was thinking that too, just like you said, like, I can only imagine it, you know, as a back, whenever one is the offensive line unit trying to mesh and gel when there's different pieces each game. Like, literally, we're playing probably about 8 offensive linemen every game, pretty much on average. And you mentioned with the backs and stuff, like, that probably will be tough. You said trust. I don't think I haven't heard many people really talk about that. It's probably harder for a back to be able to trust things when you're working with different guys. And like you said, things might be blocked a little bit different, even if it's a small little nuance. So, yeah, I'm glad that question ended up working out, because I was like, man, I don't know if I'm describing this right, but you literally hit the nail on the head. And that was exactly what I was trying to ask you. Robbie, real quick before we let you go, I'm so appreciative of you hopping on here again. Totally my apologies. Flag on the play on me, man. Give me 15 yards back. I want to get your prediction for this game. You said you guys feel confident. You said you guys, I mean, the temperature feels pretty good. I know you guys have some questions a little bit offensively, but that defense has really been holding you guys together. How do you see this one going with you guys traveling to Tuscaloosa?
Man, you know, I played there, went there. I met my wife there. I'm a Sooner guy through and through. So I obviously think that we're going to go in there and win. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think y'all are a fantastic team. And you know, this is SEC football. This is two blue bloods going against each other. We have a great history. I know that anything can happen, and it could be y'all's game just as easy. But I'm going to go with the Sooners on top. I think, I don't know, maybe by a touchdown, like 21-14 or something like that. I really feel like this is going to be a grinding game. Who can have the most stops on defense, and whose offense is going to take advantage of those turnovers? So I'll just throw that out there. I'll also throw a caveat. I am not a great prediction guy. I've never been right once, but there you go.
Hey, I say the same thing every time people ask me, even like with betting advice, or like, oh, what do you think about the – I'm like, listen, I've never been able to bet my whole life until I finally finished playing. I said, don't listen to me about it. I said, I watch tape. I try to give you what I'm seeing. And I said, I cannot predict anything. I am not God nor a computer model that puts a whole bunch of stats in a machine. So please don't take that. Rodney, man, I appreciate you hopping on. It's been fun, man. Thank you so much. And again, man, you're welcome here anytime. We'll definitely have to get your football knowledge some more, especially at the running back spot. Maybe I'll get you on the stream and let you watch some tape, and you can kind of give us your thoughts, kind of break down a running game if you ever get a chance, because I think our fans
really
appreciate
it. Yeah, man, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
man, that sounds great. Like, I love being on the phone.
Everybody's searching for answers right now, man. And why not ask a former running back himself? He definitely would be able to provide that. Rodney, we appreciate you, brother. You be easy, man.
All right. Appreciate you, Christian. Bye.
Yes, sir. Take care, bro. Good deal, man. That was Rodney Anderson, former Oklahoma running back, Cincinnati Bengal as well. And now he works with their collective, man. So we definitely good, man. He's a wealth of knowledge. NIL, all that stuff, he knows all that. So we'll get him back on here for sure and talk some more ball and college football in general. And big shout out to Rodney Anderson for joining us. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll respond. We'll keep on rolling. If you guys have any questions, we'll talk about it, all that right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
brands, just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon. Sunshine and full supply. The high 65. Clear tonight. The low 41. The warming trend continues tomorrow and Friday. The sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow 70. The high Friday afternoon at 73. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Big thanks to Rodney Anderson, again, former Oklahoma running back. Rodney, same age as me. We both finished in 2018. I don't think he got to play in the game when we played Oklahoma my senior year, though. I think he was injured already at that point. Remember, he had a knee injury. But nonetheless, man, really, really good running back for Oklahoma. Spent some time with the Bengals, and now he's working with Oklahoma's collective. So he's very much involved over there, spends a lot of time with those players. So thought it would be great to get him on the show. And I'm so glad we did, because he had a lot of good answers, man. I'm glad we asked about the running game. I was like, man, this is like a very, you know, muddy question I'm trying to ask him. But I was trying to get his thoughts, like you guys heard, about the different processes, you know, and as a running back, right? Like, you know, when it comes down to the execution up front, finding the hole, hitting the hole, stuff like that, and he hit the nail on the head. And, man, that I feel like that answers some questions. Chase Reed, I mean, what do you think about his answer about the running game and how the consistency is so important, the timing? But really, I think the word that I really like that he used when he said trust, man, as a back, you've got to be able to trust that that hole will be there. And when now that he says that, thinking back of like the tape that I've watched, I'm almost wondering, is it real patience that we see sometimes out of jam? Or is it maybe a lack of trust that that hole, which I guess they kind of go hand in hand somewhat, but maybe the patience stems from a lack of trust that that hole will be there, right? Or that it will open up the way it should. When he said that, I kind of was like, damn, I didn't really think about that as a, from a back's perspective. But then you add in the equation, the different guys we rotate across the offensive line and just some inconsistencies we've seen. It makes you kind of, I guess, hold back a little bit of the initial criticism you might aim towards back, even though I do think the backs need to be better 100%, just like you said, that is a part of the equation. But what'd you guys think about that answer? I thought it was a really, really interesting answer.
Yeah, I think that kind of opened my eyes a little bit too, like you were saying, and just you also like reaffirming that. I was thinking about, let's just say, not specifically Jam, but any back in the backfield, right? What if they have more trust in a certain guard pulling than another, you know? Does that affect how that play goes? If they would prefer player A rather than player B, like if player B's in and they don't trust them as much as player A, are they, you know, are they going to have that much patience? Are they going to trust them to, you know, open that hole? So I think that's, you know, I think he hit it spot on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even as a whole, makes you wonder, like, we don't really get as much push, right, as we expect. So maybe the back is already anticipating bouncing it because of, you know, so many carries he gets and things are, you know, being stalled in the line of scrimmage. So maybe something in his mind is, I don't know, almost convincing him to be ready to bounce it because he's almost expecting that we're not going to get that initial push. I don't know. That answer, I'll be honest, a lot of times, man, people say seven, I feel like I kind of already have an idea, but that one was, I was like, man, that's a very interesting perspective. So that was good stuff. Let's see. We got about a minute or so for we need to hit this top hour break. Let's see if we can read some of these comments. Stacey says, stop rotating the offensive line. I mean, I hate to say it, but I do agree that I would feel much better about having consistent play out of guys where you just let them mesh gel and like now even add in the back of the equation, you know. But I understand the coaching perspective of, you know, if guys are earning the right in practice. I mean, yes, but the problem for me is the offensive line is just a different position. I totally understand rotating secondary guys, even though that was a little bit different. I get it now, though. Like, let's just say this. Defensive line, there's no questions about it. I don't care where you go. There's going to be rotations there. You always want fresh bodies up front on the defensive line / edge positions. Linebackers, you rotate certain spots, but, you know, your mic is your mic. Sometimes you do rotate that if he's not a great coverage guy, I get that. But you guys get what I'm saying. You can rotate linebackers. Safeties and DBs and whatnot, especially depending on the package, that's normal. But offensive line, man, traditionally, that's always a spike. The only time that you typically would see rotating on the offensive line is if you're bringing in like jumbo personnel, you're going tackle over type stuff with, you know, bringing an extra tackle in the game, like Auburn used to do a whole bunch of in their heavy personnel. They used to bring in a tackle and put him on the line as like in the C area to block that six technique, right? Like stuff like that. But rotating different guys, different series on the offensive line, I'll be honest with you, man, it's, all I know is from my football experience, even though I didn't play offensive line, I know how important gelling and meshing is there. I feel like that could potentially be a factor. But I don't know. I guess you got to do what you got to do. It's kind of probably weighing your options, right? All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break when we come back. We keep diving into this Alabama-Oklahoma game. And we got some more keys and things to look at this game. I know we got some other interviews from yesterday we'll maybe take a look at and more. Plus, we got to go to the phone lines. We got Smitty on there, 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to join. And you listen to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The NBA announced a new format for this season's All-Star Game, the U.S. against the world in Los Angeles in February. Two teams of American All-Stars, one team of international players in a round-robin format, a total of four 12-minute games. The Mavericks fired general manager Nico Harrison. Philadelphia edged Boston 102-100. The Celtics record 5-7. Indiana's now 1-10 after losing at Utah 152-128. Brooklyn's 1-10 after losing at home to Toronto 119-109. Champion Oklahoma City is 11-1 so far after ripping Golden State 126-102. Warriors record just 6-6. And New York won its fifth in a row 133-120 over Memphis. College basketball wins for Gonzaga and Illinois. Louisville beat Kentucky. Number 6 Michigan won in overtime against Wake Forest. 10th ranked Florida edged Florida State.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com, and by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at tuscaloosacdjr.com, and by Two Dimes, online at twodimes.club, and by Druid City Regional Medical Center, dchsystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hour number two officially underway. And hour number one was great, man. We ended up getting former Oklahoma running back Rodney Anderson on the show. Big thanks to him, man. Did a great job previewing the matchup, talking about Oklahoma, where he serves as one of their NIL coordinators there, and got the question about the running game answered, and I thought it was really good stuff. So shout out to him joining us here on the show. Diving back into that conversation, Alabama-Oklahoma, right? I want to piggyback off of that. We'll add some more keys. I was talking about it during the break, but I don't want to keep Smitty waiting too long, because I know sometimes we get phone calls, especially towards the end. I want to make sure we get everybody quicker. 205-342-9904. Let's go there now. We got Smitty on the line. Smitty, welcome in.
Man, I'm good. Christian, how you doing today?
Man, I can't complain, brother. How's everything?
Good, good. It's going to be a nice 77 degrees here in Phoenix on game day Saturday, so I can't complain about that. One, I saw the rankings yesterday. I never get worked up. It's funny seeing people get worked up over these rankings, but I still wonder what the Big Ten going to complain about this time, because they complain about everything. They talk more about Alabama than their own team for some reason. So we must still be the standard, seems like it, you know. But the thing is about this game, I think maybe Alabama needs to play a little bit faster tempo. Because, you know, Venables wanted to have all these calls, wanted y'all, you know, the stuff like that. Maybe play at a faster tempo. But at the same time, I know a lot of people talk about Mateer. They talk about John Mateer like he's Vince Young or Cam Newton. He only missed one game this year, right? And the guy has only thrown for eight touchdown passes, seven picks. He's been a gunslinger. He puts the ball in harm's way all year. And that's something that this team who focuses on getting turnovers should capitalize on. And I think Alabama's defense might be the most improved unit in the country where they were last year in the first part of this year, but how they put it together. And I think part of it is Kane may become a better coach defensively, because we don't see those first down mugging anymore, you know. And the guys are executing there. But when it comes to offensive line, the run game, I think it's a combination of both the offensive line and the blocking and executing, but I also think that our top three backs aren't nothing to write home about. But just, we have to call it that, too. But my most disappointing thing with the running backs is their poor pass protection. Because you got to pick one struggling. Because pass pro will get you dinged up as well, because a lot of times, you know this, when they be blitzing, these teams blitz. A lot of times it ain't the tackles or the guards. It's the running back that has to pick that guy up, right? And they're terrible at pass pro. What are you bringing in? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I think that's why some people are saying, well, if the reason A.K. Deere hadn't gotten an opportunity is because he's younger and he might not be equipped to handle that pass pro right now, why not give him an opportunity? I saw he like tweeted something or maybe posted something. I think a lot of people like speculating, like maybe he's alluding that he's going to get more opportunities or something. I don't know, but you're right. I just know when I was here, we had Coach Burns as our running backs coach. And man, if you were not going to contribute in pass pro, I don't care if you ran the ball like Marshall Faulk, Barry Sanders, or whoever. Edron James, I mean, like, you weren't going to play. And you're right, it is crucial, especially on those blitz pickups. And I think that, like, what's interesting was, you know, Jam was earlier in the year, even last year, he'd always been pretty solid in his pass pro. But as of recent, you're right. I mean, all these guys have pretty much struggled in that blitz pickup. You know what I mean? I mean, I've seen everybody. Like, Daniel Hill has struggled at times. I've seen all of them, right? Kevin Riley and Jam struggle with blitz pickup and pass pro. So, I don't know, man. At the end of the day, I mean, you got a decision to make. I mean, maybe they just need to try to just go to the cut method. I don't think I've really seen anybody try to cut, but if that helps, maybe try it. I don't know, man. You got to figure something out, because I'm telling you right now, this weekend, it's like I said last weekend, you're going to see a lot of blitz and a lot of pressure. You best believe you're going to get it out of Oklahoma, because they do blitz, literally. I mean, this is an actual stat that I found. I knew they blitz a lot, but when I saw this, I was like, damn, that's a lot. 51% of their snaps are blitzes. Is literally the stat that I found. So, they, yeah. I mean, if you weren't expecting pressure, you damn sure should now, knowing that statistically even tells you. I mean, on tape, you see it clearly, but statistically, it's yeah, that's a crazy stat.
Quick question. Would a team that likes to blitz like that, would playing a faster tempo, would that mitigate that some?
Say it one more time. If you're saying if a team plays with a faster tempo, does that mitigate like the blitzing?
Yeah, they'll still blitz, but maybe like with checks or substituting, or you know how it is. Like when you when someone's running a faster tempo, you may not be able to do all the things you want defensively when it comes to checks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, typically when teams do go tempo, it does limit what you can get into. As a defense, right? Like going off of my experience, when we played tempo teams, we always had base calls and calls within calls, and you have to prepare for that. That's one of the biggest challenges of tempo outside of the fatigue, you know, the obvious physical fatigue that comes with it, but being able to know what you're getting into. Because a lot of times you see another reason they like tempo is because guys aren't lined up. They don't know where to go. They're trying to see, what's the formation? You got guys running across the field still when the ball's being snapped. So, yeah, I mean, my only thing is, like, if we haven't really worked tempo at all this season, like, do you want to really get out of your element completely? You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe there could be some scenarios where you do try to go to tempo. But to answer your question, yes, it can limit a team from getting to all those things that they want to get to. Now, if they have it drawn up or installed where they're like, all right, if we get tempo, here's our base call. If we get to a third down, this is the blitz we want to get into. And like, if they prepare that away, I mean, it'll help them kind of not necessarily negate the tempo, but you get what I'm saying? It'll protect them a little bit, but you're right. It does limit a defense from really having all the time to sit there and say, all right, we're lining up in this. We're going to disguise this away. Oh, we're going to check into this. Yes, that does change. But I'll be honest with you, watching our offense, that's just not what we do. We literally, we take the clock all the way down, like to last second, because the way Grubb and them like to call, but they like getting us in the best thing possible. When you go tempo, you're just relying on what you're calling and you're just going to go with it. You're not really having an opportunity to get into like, oh, those pre-snap adjustments that we do all the time. Does that make sense? So offensively, you would be taking that away from your game. And that's something I feel like actually helps us out a lot. Like taking the clock down, seeing what guys are in. Okay, we check, we see what they checked. And now we're literally checking off of their check. And we'll take it all the way down just to get the best possible play from our eyes in. And I think that's kind of what we would rather do. But who knows? We'll have to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's incumbent on Ty to get the ball out of his hands, too. And because he gets in trouble with that, some of those fumbles he had. Because interceptions are one thing, but fumbles are a killer. But one question I have, and I'm out of here. I overheard you talking to Mr. Anderson about, like, the right tackles. Like, Formby has his struggles with certain things. That Carroll has his struggles with other things. What are those struggles for those two? And I'll give my opinion after you're done, because I got an opinion. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I think when you look at number one, Wilkin, right, I think there's just inconsistency there. I think he has technique issues, right, both in the running game and passing game. There's times where he does a good job in both, and there's other times it's either, you know, footwork is bad, not getting the head across, you know what I mean, like small technical things that need to be better in pass pro. There's sometimes he's way too soft. There's other times, so we saw those clips for South Carolina, he gets into his kick step. He does a nice job riding the edge guy, you know, who's trying to work speed on him, past the quarterback. Those are good reps. But then there's other times, you know, you just see him, you know, standing up tall, whiffing on a block here or there. And I think that to me, like the inconsistency is the biggest thing. I mean, he's shown, like you mentioned, against Dylan Story, he's shown good reps in the run game. He's shown the ability to drive guys off the ball, climb to the next level, do some good stuff. But the inconsistency is a problem. And like I mentioned, sometimes I think he's way too soft in pass pro. Then with Michael Carroll, I think it's more so of just he's still green, right? I mean, he's young. There's probably going to be some mental errors here and there. I think at times he also is too soft. When I say soft, I'm not saying like, oh, he's soft, like scared of contact. I'm saying soft, like he's giving himself up too much and getting pushed way too far back into the lap of the quarterback. Trying to think of what else with Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll's more physical, right, especially in the running game. Like you see that nastiness out of him. But sometimes with that, sometimes guys kind of over-pursue or overdo some things, and I think that also kind of lead to some issues. So like just kind of off the top of my head, those are kind of like my overall assessments of the two of them.
Yeah, because Wilk has been on campus 3 years, and this is Carroll's first year on campus. So sometimes he's still inconsistent, bad footwork and technique 3 years in. Maybe it's like, hey, we're still getting inconsistencies. Maybe we'll just go with the kid here who may be a little inconsistent because he's green. But, man, he's physical and has a mean streak, and we can roll with that. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And, and I think that's because it's kind of like one of those things, what can we live with? And I'd rather live – I'm not a coach, never played this level. But I just think that maybe if that's an offensive line, hey, if he's nasty and physical – I could live with that over the guy who's been here 3 years and still has technique issues. And that's something that I look at. But the coaches know more than I do. But thanks for taking my call, Christian. You got some good trades.
Of course. Yeah, appreciate you, Smitty, man. Good stuff as always, bro. Good deal. Now, and I'll just say this real quick before we hit this timeout. Excuse me. The interesting thing is, like, I agree with Michael Carroll. Like, you see that mean streak, right? You see him trying to finish blocks and getting his nose in there. Like, he's not afraid of contact. Like, he plays with the right mindset and mentality. And yes, he's going to, you know, make freshman mistakes, right? Because he just got here. You know, he's still learning. He hasn't been in the system as long as some other guys. But it's interesting because then sometimes he does get these opportunities. And then it's like, I hate to say it, like, it's not saying he's worse, but then it's like, oh man, well, when he's kind of like rotating in there, he plays really good. Then he finally gets that opportunity. Then you start seeing some more of those mistakes. I don't know if he's being exposed more plays, or it's just maybe he's overthinking. I don't know. But it almost is like, because I remember after, what game was it? They gave him a start. And then was it Tennessee maybe? And I think Wilkin ended up playing more snaps than him. And then when Wilkin came in off the bench, Wilkin actually played pretty good. So it's almost like, this is my philosophy. Or bench the better guy, because when they come in, they always play better. I don't know if it's a mindset thing or what. So whoever you think should be playing, just put him on the bench for the first series, then rotate him in there, and he should have a good game. I'm joking, but not really at the same time. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tyler Point 9, 1230, WTBCA. We're open on the phone lines. Anybody want to get in on the conversation, feel free to do so. We'll be right back after this quick timeout.
On and other brands, just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon, sunshine in full supply, the high 65. Clear tonight, the low 41. The warming trend continues tomorrow and Friday. The sky's sunny both days. The high tomorrow is 70. The high Friday afternoon at 73. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we've had a lot of conversation about running game. I know Carson had brought that up. But I was saying, we talked about it in the first time, and I don't know if you caught Rodney's phone call, again, Rodney Anderson, former Oakland running back. But go listen to that part, too, if you missed it. It's like the end of our interview there, probably around, I think 11:40 something. I don't know. So go back about 30 minutes or so. He had a really good answer for just the process of the running game. Not necessarily ours specifically, but he definitely referenced Oklahoma's a lot, which actually is a little bit similar to us. They've had some injuries, rotated some guys, got some different backs getting some carries now. And he had a really good answer for that. But real quick, because I know you might have missed my point. The point about the film guy thing that you brought up. While I agree, you know, profiles, because again, I said it yesterday before I even went on there. I definitely hadn't seen the video, but I made the comment that I do believe that our personnel isn't the same as what they were working with at Washington. I think that definitely could have some type of little bit of an impact. My argument is then when we do the things that our guys should be good at, like the duo inside zone, things where we're, you know, just getting downhill fast, right? Trying to get those doubles physically, blocking guys, not worrying about so much of the movement, right? Or the perimeter. Why aren't we even doing those things well? That's my only thing. You know what I mean? But we'll see. I mean, he's still like 18 months out from seeing the full thing. I'll be honest. I think that's kind of a little, personally, I think it's a little dramatic. I think it could help, right? Because I do agree. I made the reference about defensive coordinators. If you run a 3-4, you come into a team where they had a 4-3, those defensive ends aren't going to be natural at 3-4 outside linebackers. It would take time for you to go recruit outside linebackers. So, like, yes, there's truth to some of that. But I think some of it is a little, like, over-exaggerated to an extent. But, again, everybody's got different opinions. Just like I saw a video of, I think, John Parker Wilson, right, former quarterback here. He was talking about our running game and that he wasn't concerned with it so much just because this offense is normally predicated by having 4,000-yard passers. They really want to throw the football. And that he wasn't too concerned with the lack of running game. And disrespectfully, and I respect his opinion. I worked with him, right, with the Crimson Tide Sports Network. But number two, he's a quarterback. I mean, he knows plenty of football, especially on that side of things. But the only thing I disagree with is that even though this offense of Kalen DeBoer definitely does favor throwing the football, having success there, like we're seeing with Ty and you know our group of wide receivers, yes, it does make sense to lean into that. I'm all for that. I get that. But you never want to be one-dimensional. And that being said, they still found ways to, have success on the ground at Washington, even with that 4,000-yard passer, right? Like, they know. And if they didn't, this is my last thing about that point. If they didn't feel the run game was that necessary because they were such a passive offense, they wouldn't elect to run the ball the amount of times that they've been doing so this year. That's where I disagree with John Parker Wilson, because that, to me, is evident that they do understand the importance of the running game, no matter how many times they want to throw the football, because it takes pressure off a tie and it opens things up. So, but again, it's kind of interesting. Right now we're in that time where everybody's got input, because it's just kind of like when back in, what, 2022 or 2023, you know, Coach Saban's last year or two, like we were having issues with penalties and this and that, and everybody, providing input on what the issue was. But, you know, it's probably a mix of all these different things that we've been discussing. So let's see. Superfly, what's up, man? He says, I'm tired of hearing the coaches see them at practice every day so they know better spiel. Practice, some people are just better on game day. Play AK. Oh, God, Superfly, don't fall into it, man. Don't fall into it. Listen, you're my guy. But let me just say this, though. That narrative, right, where the coaches see them at practice every day so they know better, that is, you got to respect that, right? Because let's just say this. I mean, you're a military guy. I mean, I was going to try to come up with a comparison. Maybe I could. I don't know. Say you got a platoon and you got a sergeant that sees his troops every single day. Who would you trust more in terms of coming up with the infantry unit to go setting out somewhere? The sergeant that sees those troops work every single day and do the drills and things that they do, or somebody on the internet that just goes, man, this guy that we saw, before he got recruited to the Army, y'all need to send him out. You got to have faith in the coaching staff. That was probably a terrible example, but I was trying to come up with something there. I'll say this, there are gamers. I do agree with you. Like, there are guys that are gamers, right? Like, in practice, they kind of look. I'm trying to think if there's somebody that I played with that was like just a gamer. And I damn sure know we had some. Because I remember we were saying that. We're like, hey, he's just a gamer, man. Golly, I'm trying to think. There are a number of guys that are like that. But at the end of the day, though, too, man, you got, as coaches, like, they see these guys every day. You got to be able to trust that who we're putting out there is able to go out there and contribute. I mean, I know people might try to use like what you're saying, almost like for a guy like Keon Keeley. You know what I mean? Like, he's been in there, and I know they see, like, oh, well, you put him against Missouri. You know, he had a sack, and then South Carolina, he had that sack. And while it is true, like, now, he's even impressed me more now that I've seen him in this game time action. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. He had to develop. It's not like if you would have put him in there even 5 weeks ago, but especially like a year ago, that wouldn't have been the Keon Keeley you would have saw in a game, just because he wasn't ready at that point. But I don't know. But y'all are referencing AK Deer, though. Are y'all going off of what he did in high school? Or are y'all going off what he's done? Because he's gotten a couple, what, games this year? What, like maybe two games I think he's played? I don't know, man. I don't know. He made a post. Maybe we do see him this, but I'm just going to be completely honest. I don't think you just playing AK Deer is going to magically transform the running game. It doesn't work like that, man. It's no different than when I used to tell everybody. I mean, like, if you don't fix offensive line, it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. Like, yeah, it could be a little bit better depending on, you know, the skill set. But if you have an offensive line problem, you have an offensive line problem. So personally, with the running game, I'm telling you guys, a lot of it is up front. Some of it is on the backs too. But I would rather roll with Daniel Hill before I went with AK Deer. I would let Daniel Hill, again, just like I've been talking about, let Daniel Hill get carries and just try to go with the philosophy. Hey, man, we're hitting these holes. Fall forward for a few yards. I mean, because you don't, like, the running game isn't always about popping off explosive runs, man. I mean, there's a lot of philosophy into it. You're wearing down the defense. You're getting, you know, chunk yardage. Really, one of the biggest things is you're trying to set yourself up for third down, right? You don't want to be behind the sticks. You don't want to be in third and long. So, like, even if you're falling forward for a few yards here or there, you're setting yourself up better on those down and distances in those situations. Personally, I think Daniel Hill would be ideal for that. So that's the direction I would go. I mean, that's just me, though. We got Ram and we've got Karst on the phone lines. We're about due for a break, so we'll hit the break first. But let me hit this comment real quick. Christian, I think we need to run more heavy. It worked against ULM. And I know it's ULM, but that was the only time we had good push. Well, go back and watch Vanderbilt, guys. Our running game was really good against Vanderbilt, and that was a quality defensive front in Vanderbilt, right? They had, you know, good players. Going into that game, they had one of the better run defenses in the conference, and we did well, but it was, I'm telling you, great execution. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up on the stream right here because I'm going to show you a couple plays, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But I'll do that during the timeout. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. If you guys want to check that out, join us on the stream at the Miller's Edge. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. If you're listening to the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Just download the free Upside app and use promo code RADIO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code RADIO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
So this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. It is heating back up outside, which is great. I mean, my heater's fixed now in my house, but still, definitely enjoy that. But that doesn't mean that a lot of these families that I was talking about the other day are in a better position just because it's better weather outside, or even some people that don't even have a place to go. And what I'm getting at is, there's a food drive going on over at R&R Cigars right now, and they're accepting donations there. The goal is to feed 5,000 families. This holiday season always can be a challenge for a number of folks, especially given the current state of, you know, things, various things that I'm sure everybody's aware of, right? And that being said, R&R Cigars has partnered with some folks to do a food drive, and they need your guys' help. So if you guys have anything, you know, non-perishable goods, canned foods, things like that, if you want to donate and help feed families this holiday season, make sure you guys drop them off at R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, where you can do that. Again, really good cause, and they're thanking you by offering you 50% off of one cigar if you guys make a donation. But even if you don't end up getting a cigar, just think about if you have the ability to donate, that would be great, and they definitely would appreciate that. And I know the families would appreciate it even more. Again, that is at R&R Cigars. But if you also are looking for a place to go watch the game this weekend or next, or Alabama basketball kicking things off, right? You got baseball here in a little bit and all that good stuff. Well, you always can go to R&R as well. Go nice, have a nice cigar, nice drink, over 160 bourbons. Hang out on the porch. They got TVs throughout. Great time, great people, and a great atmosphere right there at R&R Cigars. So make sure you guys check them out. Code Miller's Edge at rnrcigars.com to get you a 20% discount. Again, it's R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. And now we go back to the phone lines where we've got Mr. Ram up next. Ram, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, can you hear me okay, buddy?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sounds a little windy maybe, but we got you.
Okay, well, I'm out in the woods doing my walk, but I was going to ask you, that seems like a inordinate number of blitzes for Oklahoma. Wouldn't that put man coverage when they do that?
Yeah, so when you're bringing pressure, a lot of time you see a lot of man coverage. There's also things like fire zone coverage, right? You can pop out. There's zone blitzes as well. But, I mean, a lot of the times, I mean, especially depending on how many guys you bring, especially when you're really bringing heat, yeah, you do see a lot of man coverage. So, yes, there could be opportunity. Look, if you pick up blitzes well or you're anticipating well, you always can take advantage of that as an offense, and it could lead to, you know, explosive plays, right? I mean, it's kind of high risk, high reward for a defense. And on the other side, again, I mean, there's a chance for a big reward offensively if you handle it correctly. However, it's not easy to do. It's easier said than done. But, yes, you're right. You do see a lot of man with blitzes, even though there definitely are some zone blitzes as well.
Well, they must, if they blitz that much, Christian, they must have some juice on their side of the ball.
They do. And it starts up front, Ram. I mean, they've got two defensive tackles that are some of the better ones in the conference. They've got an edge guy, 32, is R. Mason Thomas. I think he's got like 6 or 7 sacks on the year. You got another guy, a big tall guy, who's just a physical specimen. He's like 6'5", like 265. But, you know, he doesn't light up the stat sheet by any means. But, you know, they got good players up front, some good linebackers as well. But, yeah, they do have some juice. But I think it really is, you know, you're led by, you know, Brent Venables, who's a defensive mastermind. So, I mean, best believe you're going to see some good looks. And I was talking about this earlier. I mean, people, they look at so much of the blitzes, but they also got to remember, you know, they throw some different stuff at you in the back end. And I'm curious to see how that could end up playing a role too. I mean, we haven't had anybody really full tied to the point where he's made a lot of mistakes, you know, because of that. So I'm just wondering, I mean, could this defense try to, you know, mix things up enough to be the first to really disrupt them from more of a mental standpoint, given if they're able to kind of, you know, disguise really well? Because they do a good job with it. I've watched them do that. And they throw a lot of different looks at you, and they'll mix it up.
Christian, when Ty gets the information from headset, is that a 15-second message, and do they get it as soon as they break out of the huddle or win?
I'll be honest with you, Ram. I'm having a hard time hearing you because the wind's picking up. If you want, just how about this? We're going to go to the next call because we're running low on time, but if you want to leave your last question with Reed, just tell Reed your last question over the phone real quick, and I'll make sure I answer it for you. But I just want to make sure we get Carson and others on here real quick, and it's a little hard to switch them in. But be safe on that walk. Leave Reed your question. Don't hang up yet. I think he can switch it over for me real quick.
Okay.
And I'll make sure I answer. Thanks, I appreciate you calling. Yes, sir, of course. Good deal. All right, Reed, if you can throw Carson on here now, then if he can drop that question for you, that'd be cool. Carson, welcome in.
What's up, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Sorry, I think Ram was outside on his nature walk, man. So the wind was a little bit. But I got you. Good,
I kind
Good. Well, I'm kind of on a nature walk too, a little bit. I'm outside my office walking around it, so hopefully it's not too bad. But
no, you're good.
I wanted to bring up just a question, and mm-hmm. I wanted to ask your opinion on this because, you know, the more you listen to the coaching staff and hearing Ryan Grubb's presser was kind of interesting because he doesn't feel like we're that far off, you know. And look, he's a smart guy, and I don't believe he's just saying that to make himself look like he's failed, make it look like he's, you know, putting lipstick on a pig or anything like that. I think he truly believes that. And, you know, he boiled it down to communication. So I wanted to ask you, you know, what percentage of the execution standpoint is, can you contribute to communication? Because, you know, the way I see it, and it's becoming evident, and I don't know if I'm completely off base, but, you know, with a lot of the checks at the line of scrimmage where we go from pass to run, you know, kind of a complex offense where it's predicated on Ty's decision-making, the ball's in his hands majority of the game, and how much of the communication is you know, how much of the production is predicated on the line of scrimmage? Say we check to a run play and it was, you know, the guard and the center are communicating, and some of that communication just gets kind of mixed up. And, you know, these guys are making errors because of that. And it's not as much physical as it is mental in that aspect. Now, we know there is physical, you know, lapses as well, especially you bring up like Wilkin or you bring up Caden, even though Caden's been a lot better, you know, he gets beat by speed a lot. And so there's some physical things going on top of, from my perspective, the mental aspect of it, where we're just, you know, we're reacting to what the defense is giving us too. You know, you're seeing a front, you're seeing what they're doing in the middle of a game, and you're trying to communicate on top of that what you're doing, especially when you check out of a play. And then it just seems like things kind of get lost in translation, and then you have a lapse, and then you get 1 yard. So maybe I'm off base, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I think that definitely is, you know, something to consider. I mean, you talk about all the changes and things at the line of scrimmage. I mean, to be fair, I mean, that could play a role. And I was explaining this yesterday. I think somebody asked a question. It was a really good question. You know, the identifying mics and schemes and communication, that's not only for pass pro, right? I mean, like, the offense and how they block things is predicated on the looks they're seeing on defense, right? So I think people might not understand this, but it's a good point to bring up. Duo is duo, which duo is, you know, downhill run where you've got, you know, two combo blocks, they're climbing to the second level. Well, that's still going to be blocked different depending on the front. Is it are they in a four down front? Is it an over front? Is it an under front? Are they in a three man tight front? Right? Who's identified as the mic? Is there safety in the box? Like offensive line, that all has to be communicated every snap, whether it's run or pass. And so that's what they're referencing. And I do think that probably does play a role, right? I mean, and I can only imagine, like, especially you're talking about changing plays and winding it down to last second, there probably are some moments where things get changed the last minute and maybe not everybody's on the same page. I mean, that's almost inevitable when you're doing so much, you know, so many audibles or checks and changes at the line of scrimmage. I think that's a part, but I also know, like, I think literally, Carson, there's not one little thing that we can pinpoint and say, oh, we're just that bad at this.
I think
communication plays a role. I think fundamentals, sometimes a guy gets beat because bad steps, bad eyes, not getting the head across. You know what I'm saying? Like little things like that. And all it takes is one guy on a run play sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the time. All it takes is one guy. Everybody can get pushed, not back climb, but then you have one guard not get his head across. The guy beats him across his face, and he's in the backfield. Gets just enough to even, like, you know, he don't even have to make the tackle. Sometimes his presence is enough to change the path of the back, and then it leads him to run into somebody. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's so many, you know, minor details. Yeah, and so I think that's probably why Ryan Grubb feels like that, because as a coach, when you're seeing these things, you're like, oh, man, on this play, if only he would have had his head across. Oh, on this play, if only we would have climbed to the second level this much quicker. And I think that's from his perspective. He knows that, like, man, we're right there. It's not like, oh, damn, our right guard and our left tackle just got blown up, you know, 3 out of 5 run plays on that last series, and we could go nowhere. It's not really that happening. So that's probably why he views it like that.
Right. Yeah. And look, I agree with you. And I don't think it is one thing. There's a lot of other things. Like, everything kind of runs in tandem. It's all fluid, right? Like, a lot of moving parts when it comes to creating success. And, you know, I am hopeful as a fan, because I know that these guys aren't satisfied. So, even after the LSU game, I said to my dad when they were interviewing Ty, I said, you think he's going to say some nice things right now about his team? Because I don't, you know, because there is a lot of pride with this team. There's an intensity to them that they want to do better. Now, does that mean that we're going to turn into the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry? No, that's not this scheme. That's not what we're trying to do. So I don't think that is going to be the outcome, but I do think that we can be better than what we are. And I know that they're focused on doing it. So, you know, for all the people that are completely doubting them, don't eat crow when we do kind of figure something out, you know? So I just remain hopeful. I know there's flaws, but I'm trying to remain optimistic about it just because of the approach that I've seen from, you know, the players and the coaches. So that's all I got. Yeah, appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, of course. And I was going to say, if anything, I mean, I think the good news is, to this point in the season, it hasn't costed us that much, right? The biggest concern is, well, will it down the road? But the good news is, if you look at the other perspective, it's like, well, even with inconsistencies running the ball, this coaching staff, you got to tip your hat to them. They've done a really good job at finding ways to kind of counter that. And that, to me, is actually, you know, that's at least a positive from it. All right, we got to hit this timeout when we come back. We got the Kalen DeBoer teleconference interview. It's only 7 minutes. I think we got one more call. Robbie, we're going to try to get to. If we can't get to you, Robbie, hang on the line, because I know Wyatt will definitely take you as well. Or if you want, you can always just leave your question with Reed and maybe I can squeeze it in. But we got to hit a timeout and try to squeeze in this interview real quick. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide.com.
Your West Alabama high school football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon, sunshine at full supply, the high 65. Clear tonight, the low 41. The warming trend continues tomorrow and Friday. The sky's sunny both days. The high tomorrow 70, the high Friday afternoon at 73. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back in to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We only got like a few minutes, so we're going to listen to this interview from Kalen DeBoer real quick. We'll get out of here, but I will stay extra on the stream because I got a few things I want to discuss, and we'll do that. But without further ado, here's Kalen DeBoer from his weekly teleconference.
It was good to get a win again last weekend, rivalry game. That can go a lot of different directions. So, you know, I'm proud of the guys and the way they continue to play in team football and find ways to win different ways. And we got to do it again this weekend against a very good Oklahoma team. Coach Venable's done a great job putting the team together. They do a lot of the same things we do as far as hanging their hat on, you know, turnover margin and those type of things. And, you know, it's going to be a physical game, there's no doubt. And, looking forward to the challenge.
First up, we have Colin Gay of the Tuscaloosa News.
Hey, Kalen, do you have an update on Quay Rousseau's status heading into Saturday?
I would say we're unsure at this point. I'm probably in that questionable range right now at this minute, but he's coming along nicely. I know I said that a week ago. You know, I would consider it at least on, if not ahead of schedule from what we originally thought. So he's done a great job, and he's getting closer and closer. So just see how he feels here the rest of the week.
Next, we have Joe Gaither of Bama Central.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I'm wondering, with all the focus on the running game, if you can give us an update on freshman A.K. Deere. We haven't seen him since the Wisconsin game, and I just wondered if you could talk about his progress and where he is on the team.
A.K. does a nice job every single day. I feel like the growth is there. It's, we saw enough of him early to know he's an explosive player. He's going to be a guy I know in our future, sooner and later, it continues to help our football team. And so, I think he's getting more and more comfortable with being here. And, I think we have a group of guys that are all, working themselves and trying to get ready to go if called upon.
Next, we'll go to Steve Milton at WZZN.
Hey, Coach. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
Yeah, you too, Steve.
Thank you, Coach. The biggest challenges of facing a Brent Venables kind of defense with all the multiples in particular, what are the biggest challenges in facing that type of scheme, Coach?
Well, I think it's scheme, but it's how confidently their players play within the scheme as well. They're going to show a lot of different things to you, both in the front and the back half. And so, extremely well coached. They play confidently. And then there's, a physicality about them too. They got a great combination of size and speed. They just fly around. They got an attitude about them, that they're out there to go make plays. And so, credit to everyone involved in putting it together from coaches to players.
And I know the season did not end how you wanted it to last year. I did, really beginning at the Oklahoma game through the bowl game, Coach. Fast forwarding to now, how different is this energy here in November? And just I know you're playing a lot of freshmen as well, Coach. Of how different is this team compared to this team last year at this time, Coach?
Yeah, I think we've come a long ways. And there's a lot of things that happened last year that in the off season we were able to really talk through, work through. I said it many times, your experiences really kind of, and your response to your experiences kind of shape who you are moving forward. And so, there were some games, including this one a year ago, where we really had to understand and do everything we can to not let those type of games happen again. And so I will say this, every game is its own game and every year is its own year. I tell the guys each practice, each play is a don't play. And so, this is a different year. They're a better football team. We're a better football team than a year ago. And, it's just, again, you take those experiences and there is certainly a lot of guys that remember, what happened a year ago. And, you use that as a motivation, but this is a whole different outfit that we're seeing this year, when it comes to Oklahoma.
All right. So there's a couple minutes left on that, but we're out of time, unfortunately. However, we are going to hang over and do overtime here on the stream. So if you guys want to hang behind on the stream, I'll keep going here, but we're going to close things out via radio. Make room for Wyatt coming up next right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Big thanks to everybody, Reed, Chase, Behind the Glass, all our listeners. We'll look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. See you.